How he got there and why was not that clear. He found himself waking up in a new home right on the coast. Among several bright rooms, one was exceptional. Its huge, frameless window that covered almost an entire wall was facing the ocean, occasionally getting poked by the waves when the tide was in. The effect was stunning. While sitting there facing this analog screen, he would study the approaching waves with great comfort and no sense of threat. Even on stormy days when hit over and over by the unrestrained force of the ocean, the glass would tremble, adding to the visual drama, yet still protecting the indoor space. The house was in raw condition, completely unfurnished. It felt as if this hypnotic spectacle intentionally kept him from even thinking of making the interior more inhabitable. The only thing he had with him was his backpack with recording equipment. It was resting unused against one of the walls of this intertidal room. There was no point in making any recordings, because tides cycled there forever. At some point in the day, he heard a massive noise coming from the direction of this intertidal room. At first, he thought he was missing some exceptional waves, but when he rushed in to check, he realized that the noise was caused by something completely different. There was a strange machine violently tearing down the glass wall and gradually progressing into the room. Taking advantage of the low tide, this mechanized monster must have silently approached the house from the side of the ocean. There was no chance to block it. He picked up his backpack and ran away as fast as he could, escaping the noise of the falling rubble before it reached his ears.
A small puddle. One of the many gifts left by the waves, returning now to their mother ocean. The tide is very low, and the water is pulled away by a thirsty moon, hidden somewhere behind the horizon. Only pools remain here and there. This moment of equilibrium, when the tide is low and not yet ready to come back, has a name. It is called slack or dead water. But it has nothing to do with deadness. Quite the opposite. What is usually a short patch of the beach now stretches quite far off. The edge between the water and sand blurs. I hear it more clearly than I see it. My eyes no longer need to look for it. A flock of seagulls excitedly scavenges near the edge, home, benefiting from the plethora of sea creatures.
They move restlessly from one part of the exposed beach to another,
encouraging each other.
They move restlessly from one part of the exposed beach to another,
encouraging each other about the speculation about the ebbs and flows of the seawater, like stockbrokers about the market fluctuation. I'm somewhere between this elusive edge and the peak of the beach, marked by human-made seawall.
I'm somewhere between this elusive
nature and culture
and the peak of the
beach, both ends
marked
by
time.
Human-made seawall.
Between nature and culture,
elements of
this
both ends at the same time
seem quite repetitive, even uniform.
At first, all elements of this intertidal landscape
closer and
seem quite repetitive.
That passes.
Even uniform.
The multiplicity of scales at which life
but with
happens
every step
here
closer and
every minute
itself.
That passes.
The multiplicity of scales
on,
at which life
around
happens
and
here
below each rock
reveals itself.
A unique settlement of living matter vibrates.
On, around, and below each rock. A unique settlement
countless
of living matter
constellations
vibrates.
Of mussels,
kelps, clams, and barnacles. crown groups of constellations that stick out from the tadpoles, clams and barn with a different contour, crown roofs of rocks that stick out from the tidal pools.
Each with
every
a different contour,
there resides
depth.
A temporary community.
Each continues
every pool,
granted and dispossessed
there resides
of its
a
home.
Temporary community.
Each continues
the resolute forces
and
of tidal waters
of its home,
bring their inhabitants together,
and for several hours,
the resolute forces
they are bound
of tidal
to coexist.
Waters.
Bring their
regain
inhabitants
energy.
Together,
pray,
and for several hours,
collaborate.
They are bound to coexist,
regain energy,
prey on each other or collaborate,
punctuated only by squealing of seagulls and occasional splashes of water.
The soundscape
punctuated
is
only by squealing of seagulls and occasional splashes of water.
The
I
soundscape
reach into my backpack,
monotonous.
Pull out my hydrophones and lower them gently into one of the pools.
I reach into my backpack.
I put my headphones
pull
on.
Out my hydrophones and lower them gently into one of the pools.
I put my headphones on. While looking at barnacles, limpets, mussels, a couple of little crabs and other creatures whose names I don't even know, I hear almost nothing. The water muffles the sounds from above the surface. Only after a few minutes, when the underwater life returns to its balance, disturbed by my intervention, I can start hearing its rhythms. Recent studies suggest that behavioral patterns of intertidal species directly manifest lunisolar variations, the gravitational forces that create tides. In other words, the behaviors mirror the relationship of our planet with the moon and the sun. Even when taken out of their native environments and put in a lab, tidal crabs still move in accordance to these variations. Those strong biological patterns do not result from their adaptation skills or memory, but seem to be more likely innate to them. This small tidal pool and its inhabitants compose an earthly microcosm, governed by forces that originated far beyond our planetary scope. Barnacles, mussels, crabs, skeleton shrimp and limpets, scraping off the algae with the strongest teeth on our planet, are the composers of the soundscape that we hear. Just as the shapes and behaviors of those organisms reflect the lunisolar variations, so are all those sounds their acoustic manifestations.